Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at ppclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
This morning, I continue my message in the series Reconnecting with Christ. And I want you to remember, as I asked you last week, to pray for me as I now prepare for the winter season, the vision for the winter season, the preaching series for the winter season, the calendar for the winter season. Everything comes together, and it's not an easy task, but it's easier when you're praying for me. Thank you so much for that. Last week, I ministered the word on watch the false voices, and the message was from Matthew 7, verse 15 to 20. I'm going to read it again because it is actually the 15 to 20 comes just before the next two verses, 21 to 23, that I'll preach today, and they line up together. So let me remind you of last week's text, Matthew 7, 15 to 20, and the caution was watch out. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bush or figs from thistle? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. A bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. That was the warning last week, and it's a message that Jesus himself spoke as he was doing the Sermon on the Mount and continued to preach to the people. The multitudes were hearing him, and he was calling them to an account that the fact is our lives must represent who Christ is and what Christ is about. And now we continue in the next part of that verse, because it's one passage broken down. Last week's was broken into a segment. And then here comes the next message that Jesus is giving. And it comes out of Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. And so this message is entitled, Watch the False Pretenses. Watch the false pretenses, be real. This is a message to every Christian, how we live our lives, how we conduct ourselves, how we behave. We need to watch that there's no false pretenses. So let me allow the text to share the story. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. I guarantee you next week's text is a little lighter. If you don't trust me, you could read ahead. But Jesus was sharing these real messages for a real time, which is a real time now. And why it is so important is, as they just sung, Here Comes Heaven. Our journey, our destination is heaven. It's not just making it on earth, it's making it to heaven. And so the question is asked, will everyone who professes Christ enter heaven? Will everyone who professes Christ enter heaven? And the answer is, some of you can answer me from out there before I give the right answer. The answer is, no, they all got it. I'm not the only one that studied it. You studied it in the Word too. No, because professing a thing verbally and living it out in reality are two different things. I can say, I am wealthy financially. You know how they say, speak it into existence. I see. I don't like BMW. Bless you who have it. But I actually like a Jaguar. I see a Jaguar. I can speak it. You know, there was that that false religion of, you know, declare it and it shall be done and God will speak and all that stuff. You can do all of that, but professing it and letting others think you have it is not reality if it's not in the bank. You'll know when I have a Lexus when you see one in the driveway. I'm sorry, a Jaguar. You'll see the Jag and you'll go, ooh, Jag, must be pastors. Don't any of you ever try and get me anything like that. I'm not one of those preachers. I like looking at it, that's all. Oh, in fact, if you want to get me anything, get a Maserati. Reverend Anna Rust and I are from Quebec. We know how to drive. Make it stick shift even better. The false Christian uses the Christian vocabulary and recites words and prayers, mantras and deeds, but if their heart is not obedient to God's word, then it's still a false testimony. In fact, folks, to accept God's word requires obedience to God's word. We cannot say we accept the word of God and then we are not obedient to the word of God. Remember Matthew 7 verse 18 where we just read, a good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. But also John tells us in John chapter 14 verse 23 to 24, he says, Jesus replied, and this is Jesus speaking in the book of John, same Jesus speaking again, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. Jesus was declaring the word that Jesus spoke is the word from God the Father. Today, people don't even want us to preach the Bible because like, oh, don't come at me with that and don't give me that. And they'd rather you tell them something that was on Twitter that Elon Musk put out there or somebody put out, but they don't want you to tell them what the living, active, powerful, double-edged sword, the word of God says. And that is what Jesus was speaking to then, and that is what is still relevant and even worsened today. The true profession of Christianity, which is being a Christ follower, is demonstrated in the life of the one who does the will of God. Folks, this is the message to help us get to heaven. This is the reorienting. This is the changing. This is the pivotal turn message so that we are all preparing ourselves not for earth but for heaven. In fact, Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing what? The way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. There are people, I want to know God's will. Follow God's word. God's will is embedded and intertwined, and it's living and active out of his word. Much of society says copy the behavior of the world because everyone's doing it and everyone's here. We're not on that platform. We're on the platform of we cannot copy the behavior and customs of the world, but our minds must be transformed and renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday night, we had a Holy Spirit night again, a worship night. How many were here last Sunday night? Wasn't that just, it was so refreshing. I say it because every time we promote these, there are many who don't come, and you cannot understand how the power and flow of the Spirit, it lifts you up when you're in that freedom of worship. But let me move on. Profession only is false profession. I didn't say professing Christ is false profession. I said profession only. I should have underlined only. See, there are multitudes of people who profess that they are Christians, but they do very little else in the kingdom of God, except sharing their beliefs in a communal or societal talk. And one commentary lists four such sectors of people. Let me list those four sectors of people for you. Some do very little for the kingdom of God, number one. Some do very little for the kingdom of God, except to ensure that they are comfortable, accepted by everyone, attended to at all times, and regardless of others' needs, They only see their wants as the most important. Anyone know folks that are like that? Number two, some feel religion should be convenient. It has its place in their lives as long as it does not interfere with their societal agenda. It's themselves first and then God in the mix somewhere as long as they feel their religion is convenient. Folks, serving Christ is not a gospel of convenience. There are people who were hung upside down, heads cut off. There are people today, millions of people being persecuted for the sake of the same gospel that many will not even take a moment to come and hear the word. There are people gathered in churches that know that they'll be killed when they come out. There are people who've been burnt in churches in third world countries and they'll still go, the others will still go and find another place the week after. Why? Because they will not forsake the assembling of the brethren because they know they're not there for themselves. They're there to build up others and to let others see that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's not about convenience, it's about recognizing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and what must be accomplished. Number three, some profess to do tremendous work for their religion and their society, but they would not do those works if they were not being seen or if they were not benefiting. Their sincerity of God's work is left in question before Almighty God. See, when we're working for the kingdom, the master, we're not working for men, we're working for God. And there are times when we do what we do. I'll tell you, the most honorable people in this church, you're going to get upset because there are people up in children's church that are there all the time, but you parents see them and get to know them, and maybe once in a while you thank them. I trust you're at least thanking them, but I'm just throwing that out there. But the people that I would say the most honorable in service are our parking lot attendants. Marlon and Courtney and Louie and other names I can't call. I don't have them all in my head at this rate. But they are there relentlessly in the winter, in the rain, in the heat. But why? Because they're not there to be seen. They're there to do kingdom work. Number four, some are non-sacrificial. They will give a little and serve a little as long as it does not demand much of their time nor intrude into becoming too sacrificial. One of the words that have been dropped out of Christianity is sacrifice. The Christians don't want to sacrifice anything for the kingdom of God. It's like, don't expect that of me. I've got a life to live. I've got a heaven to go to. So in that case, I need to sacrifice for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So folks, these are four sectors of people who have not embraced the fullness of Christ-likeness. And it's only in embracing Christ-likeness that people truly become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Profession alone becomes a problem because the supposed Christian lifestyle becomes focused on the person and not on Christ. And such people tend to focus on what they desire rather than what Christ has done. Folks, Christianity is not about us. It is about Christ. That's why even Christmas is not about us. Do you know we've made Christmas all about us? Making my list, checking it twice, gonna Santa Claus. Jesus is coming to town. Jesus is here. Jesus is coming soon. So yes, check the list and see if you're naughty or nice. But don't check it for Santa. Check it for the Lord Jesus Christ. False profession of Christ centers on a person or on a personality and not on Christ's life, Christ's death, Christ's resurrection, and his soon coming. Because when we focus on his soon coming, it is sobering. That's why professing alone does not do God's will. It leads the individual into a form of godliness instead of into becoming a child of Christ-likeness that loves the Lord with all their heart. And that is why 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 to 4 says, in the last days it will be difficult times, for people will only love themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. Folks, we saw this already, I'm saying it again. When we get to the place where people no longer consider anything sacred, that is the danger sign of society. And we are there where people consider, many who say they're Christians consider nothing sacred except their own desire. And here's what Timothy says. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They'll be cruel and hate what is good. They'll betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. And the last part, verse 4 says, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Do you know how you're going to get your way to heaven? Stay away from people who act religious but have denied the power of God. Can I just digress for a moment and tell you, it is a deep burden in my heart as a minister of the gospel, because I know people today would rather want to hear what they want to hear, direct you the way they want you to go, but do not want to be accountable to words such as this. But the word of God is what will take us to heaven. Nothing else matters but that we follow and do the will of our Lord Jesus Christ. So since we have now seen what false profession is, what is true profession? Profession with godliness. With godliness is true profession. True profession responds to doing God's will, which means that having confidence in oneself is not the appropriated way. Instead, we have confidence in God's power and God's love, and we accept God's salvation. Folks, we can be, when the Bible says do not be proud and arrogant, that is about fleshly things, but we can be proud in the Lord. I know who my God is. I know what my God can do. I know what my God will take me through. I know how my God will restore. I know how my God will rebuild. I know how my God will carry me. I know how he will lift me up over the mountain. I know how he will take me through the valley. Oh, that is true profession. It's not what I can do. It's what my God is able to do. Is he not able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I could ever ask or dream? Why? Because when I don't have strength, he carries me in the palm of his hands. When I don't know where to turn, he's already around the corner. When I can't go up that mountain, he carries me up in his everlasting arm. When I don't know what to do or how to sleep, he shelters you under his pinion. It's not who I am, what I have, or what education. It is what the power of God can do to the least of us and to the greatest of us. So, salvation, folks, it leads us into believing God's word and doing God's will. Salvation, see, when we're saved, we're not just saved to show up at church. We're saved to walk into God's word and do his will, to live out God's word. Salvation is God's gift of repentance to us. It's his mercy and his grace to us. But when we receive that, then our responsibility as we grow into what is called sanctification is to believe God's word. God's word is true. God's word is life. God's word is unchanging. And then what do I do now that I believe it? I do it. If you believe something, you will do it. When you don't believe it, you don't do it, or you do it under duress. But when you believe it with all your heart, you do it with freedom. You do it with emphasis. You do it with joy. You do it because nothing else matters but that I do the will of the Lord. So the sincerity of calling Christ Lord requires that we're obedient to his lordship, which means we believe what Jesus did and we do what Jesus says. We believe what Jesus did and we do what Jesus did. So here's the folks. Four things I want to highlight today. Number one, we must confess sins. 1 John 1:9 says, but if we confess our sins to him, this is important. Sometimes because we're saved, we don't remember that we need to confess our sins. That's why Jesus is talking about false profession, false pretenses. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness, unrighteousness. Number two, abide in Christ. John 15:4 says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Christ is saying, if you just remain in me, how do I remain in Christ? Keep doing his will. Keep reading his word. Keep believing his word. Keep fulfilling what God says. And you're going to be in the vine, engrafted in. Number three, love earnestly. Luke 10:27, you must. Didn't say you may. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Folks, this is the crux of good Christianity, true Christianity. And the last is this, make disciples. Matthew 28 was Jesus' last command, go and make disciples of all nations. When we are Christians, Christ followers, others should be becoming Christ followers because of us. I'm not a Christ follower just so that I could do ritual. I'm a Christ follower so that I can do righteousness. And that means many should be coming. So professing is not the same as living it out. Anyone who denies the power of Christ's death and resurrection and the power of Christ's forgiveness to sinners, the power of Christ's life-giving blood, has already forsaken the living Lord Jesus, even if they profess that they're not doing so. See, 1 John 2 verse 23 says, anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either. But anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And this is for those who have not yet acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You cannot say, I love God, I don't understand Jesus. If you do not acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, then you are not going to make it into heaven. Because there's only one way to heaven, and it is through the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So everything that we think we need, that's why Romans 2 says submit our minds. Titus lines up with Romans chapter 2, 12, verse 2. Titus 1:16 says, everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure. But nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving because their minds and consciences are corrupted. Such people claim they know God, but they deny him by the way they live. This is Titus chapter 1, verse 16. Such people claim they know God, but they deny him by the way they speak, by the way they live. They are detestable and disobedient, worthless for doing anything good. That is harsh from Titus, but Titus is saying, it's not what I speak. Profession alone is not demonstrating that I'm a child of God, but living like a child of God demonstrates who I am. So people can read my Bible, read my life, read who I am by what I do, not by what I say. Folks, there are many times we grew up, how many grew up and just do what I say? But there are generations, they had a lot to say, but they didn't live out what they were saying. And Titus condemns it. Titus says you cannot just say it and it be true. You must live it to demonstrate its truth. And so that's where we're going to go. We're going to be a church that's living out the Christ-likeness in our own lives so that people can read us and read who we are. I shared a story, I think maybe a couple, I don't know when, but I know I've shared it before. When I was living at a townhouse in Mississauga. And I had neighbors, and I'm always trying to make sure that my neighbors know who I am, but I don't preach to them, but I live in a way that they're very, I'm friendly with them and all of these things. And so I had these neighbors, and their sons were quite the sons. They were quite the sons. They were, pray for those sons. They were quite troubled. And so I had a double parking spot, and they came to me, the father came to me and said, one of my sons moving back in, and I need to park. We need to find out if we could park in your parking spot. We'll pay you for it. And I said, no, because I was an evangelist. I traveled out and in different times and all of that. I said, I'm sorry. That I can't do. I said, I move fast, and I just want to get out when I want to get out. And so they're like, no, we promise the cars will be moved whenever you're leaving. I said, you don't know when I'm leaving. They said, oh, well, if you leave on a Friday morning, you're not coming back till Sunday night or Monday morning. But if you leave on a Sunday morning, you'll be back around 10 Sunday night. But if you're gone for the week, we're not going to see you till Monday. I said, you don't need to pay me. They had my script. That's not the important part of the story. They knew who I was, and as I said, I never preached to them. The mom died. She had had cancer. I had gone. I prayed over her. She died. I had traveled out to preach somewhere. I came back Sunday night. Again, like he said, I'm usually around 10 or 11, and they're sitting on my step, and I'm like, is everything okay? And they looked at me, and they said, Mom's gone. Said, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, you know, you offer your condolences. I said, what can I do? I says, oh, well, the funeral home wanted to get us a priest, but we said, no, we already have one. I said, I'm not Catholic. They're like, it doesn't matter. You're our priest. We told them. And so I went and I did a semi-studied up Catholic service for my parishioners next door. They didn't care what church I was from. They wanted their priests, because while I lived beside them, they knew they could trust me. Folks, it's our life that makes the difference. And so God's warning us about false pretenses, our Christian jargon, having Christian conversation that does not prove godliness, and even unsaved people can use the same Christian jargon. You've heard them. Religious praying. Praying alone does not prove one's love for God, because many religions pray more than we do, right? Religious rituals, performing Christian rituals or having a formula of church service observance doesn't prove godliness. Many, many types of religions have church observance, but we're Christ followers, it makes a difference. And 2 Timothy 2:19 says, the Lord knows those who are his. And all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. So here's it, folks. Godliness requires obedience to the word of God, obedience to the requirements of the Lord, and obedience to the mission of the Lord. We must be obedient to the word, obedient to the requirements, and obedient to the mission. And that's why 1 John 3:23 says, this is the commandment. We must believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded. In 1 John 3:18, dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other, but let us show the love by our actions. So the acceptable entrance into heaven is this. Recognize heaven is real. Christ is returning. And Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those. This is not my word. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Romans 12, 2, what is good, what is pleasing, what is right. That is the will of God. Allow me in these couple of moments to read this story from Tim Dillon. I like how his analogy on entrance into heaven is real, he says. I loved it. I have to share this with you. Tim Dillon says, if you ask someone the question, do you know if you're going to heaven? Their answer is, I hope so, or I think I am. That person seems to have a standby attitude with no confirmation in their heart. Next time you're in an airport, I want you to notice something. Observe the difference between a passenger who holds a confirmed ticket and those who are on a standby list. The ones with a confirmed ticket, they read their newspaper, chat with friends, or sleep, eat. The ones on standby hang around the ticket counter, pacing, waiting, just nervously waiting to hear their names called, and that is a signal they don't have a seat. The difference in the two types of passengers is caused by the assurance factor. For the standby passenger, their whole day is one big question mark. Will I get on that plane? Will I get home on time? And how long will I have to wait before I know? There is nothing worse than living your spiritual life with one big question mark. There is a travel day coming for every human being, and we have two destinations, heaven and hell. So have you confirmed your entrance to heaven? I loved it. Heaven should be the final goal for every person. It should be the place that every human seeks to go after death. And Christianity is not about us. It's about Christ. Last week's message is watch out. Don't let false people deceive you, pick you off, or devour you. But this week, it's watch the false pretenses. Don't pretend to be a Christian. Know that you are one. Watch out. The statement of our lives is what we do for Christ's sake in accordance with his holy word. The statement of our lives, the testimony of our lives, is what we do for Christ's sake in accordance with his word. There is no digressing. There is no gray area. The word of God is supreme, authoritative, and unchanging. And when we're not living out the word, and we're living out a societal rendition of it, then we can end up damning our own souls from heaven and ending up hearing him say, I don't know you. But God, I was at church all the time. No, but have you conducted my will? Have you fulfilled my will? Lord, Lord, he says, I will hear that, but I will not hear them. My question today, are you confirmed in the assurance of your salvation? Are you confirmed in your Christian walk with Christ? His grace, salvation is so easy. You say, Lord Jesus Christ, I confess my sins. I repent of my evil ways. I turn to you and I ask you to enter my heart. You've seen my past. You've seen my life. You've seen my faults. You see even my failures even now, and you're such a forgiving God. So I accept your death on the cross. You died for me. When you died, you didn't stay dead. You rose again to break the power of death. And you canceled my debt when your blood was shed on the cross. So now I accept what you did for me, and I acknowledge I want to serve no other God but you. For you alone are the God of heaven and earth. And I want to make it to heaven to have my home with you. That is salvation. So easy. I keep saying it all the time. I would make it harder. Because there are people who really sin. And they should really get it hard. And Jesus has one way. Just accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you make it tougher? You'd have like a little chart this way. Wouldn't you? Jesus says, no, no, I already shed my blood and it's for everybody. Even the criminal in jail can do the same prayer. Isn't that a little unfair? And Jesus said, no, because when I spilled my blood, I didn't say who's better than who. I said, there goes my creation. There goes my son. There goes my daughter. So salvation, very simple. And if you've not acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, online or in-house, this is the day to do it. Because his blood was shed for you, and that's the only way to heaven. Don't expect us at your funeral to come and lie over your casket and say, I think they're going to heaven. That's what Tim DeLena was saying, I think. Remember you hear the I think. There's no assurance there. But salvation is the beginning step. Then comes the process, sanctification, where I choose to live out God's word, where I choose to be a Christ follower. There were many disciples, but some of them denied Jesus at the cross. Why? They didn't want to, it was inconvenient. They didn't want to sacrifice. The steps of our life requires that we follow the word of God, do what it says, And that's what keeps us on our road to heaven. He's not giving us hoops to jump. He's just giving us a word to fulfill. Are we all going to do it together at the same time? No, we're going to do it differently. We're on different roads. I'm on a different road from you. I'm on a different path from you. I'm constantly confessing some of my faux pas. I got busted again this week. I was driving on Highway 2 and it was foggy and I couldn't see the address I was going to. I was supposed to go to see someone. I couldn't find the address. And I saw a clear spot. Nobody behind me, nobody in front of me. So I thought. So I did a nice Montreal U-turn. It was so, wasn't it clean? It was clean, right? It was a clean U-turn until one of my deacons saw me. He texted me and said, "Pastor, I saw you." I went, but it was clean. I just love, God always highlights my faults to everybody. Because He loves me so much. It's not about the little things like that. It's about what I read in the Word. The evil, the wrongdoing, not acknowledging the will of the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask this morning if there's any here and you have not acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. With every head bowed, online I'm looking at you also. I can't see you directly, but you can see me. If you've not acknowledged the Lord as your personal Savior, heaven cannot be accessed without confessing the Lord as Savior. If there's anyone in here today and you're like, "Pastor Marie, I need to accept the Lord as my personal Savior." Right where you are, right where you are. If that's where it begins, that's where it begins. I want you to do that today. If you have not acknowledged the Lord as your personal Savior, would you just raise a hand right where you are? And I'm going to pray with you. I'm looking out. Just feel free. Don't worry about anyone else. You weren't born with anyone. You came out alone. Even if you're a twin, you came out alone. And this is about you and the Lord. Is there anyone this morning as I look out? I want everyone saying this prayer with me for the sake of those online. Everyone repeating this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. You've seen all my sins. Seen the evil. Seen the good. Seen the mediocre. And you still love me. I pray, oh God, that you would forgive me. Forgive me of all my sins. And take me as your very own. I accept the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed for me. I acknowledge when you died on the cross, it was for me too. And I acknowledge when you rose to heaven, you went to wait for me. And I want to be there. So I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you my mind. I give you my soul. Enter into my spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And teach me your word that I will now live a life that will lead to heaven. I ask it in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Father, I pray a blessing upon your people in this week. Make us a triumphant people. Cause us to be the catalyst for change, not only in Durham, but in Ontario and across Canada. For we, oh God, are going to live out the word of the Lord. Cause each one to walk in strength today and in peace of mind and in the power of your spirit as we live out the word in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.